The Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Rive. We've got more on the wrap-up of Warehouse 13 with Eddie McClintock and Joanne Kelly. And then there's fan favorite actress Gigi Edgley, right smack dab in the middle of the Henson creations all the way back to Farscape and now on Creature Shop Challenge. And she says it was all fate. But what about a Farscape reboot? We got the scoop. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point. The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
At the center of the show, Jim Henson's Creature Shop, is fan favorite actress Gigi Edgley. I asked Gigi that while being primarily an actress, was it difficult to transition into the role of being a host that is so crucial to keeping a show like this going?
Being an actress nowadays, I think it's just really important to be open to so many, you know, integral parts that make up an actress. So whether that be singing or dancing or hosting or, you know, writing or directing or producing, I'm completely open and happy to go in any direction if it helps my craft. So I was just so excited when I got the call from Brian, because I love, you know, the Henson Company so much, and I'm definitely one of their biggest fans. And, you know, I'd worked with them many years ago on Farscape, which was, you know, a fan favorite series, and literally I was just cast for one episode, and they liked the character so much that they kept me on the beautiful spaceship for over 5 years. So it's a real pleasure to be back with, you know, it feels like a family to me, because, you know, we worked so many long hours, and my makeup was like 3.5 hours a day, and there were 16-hour days, and so it feels very special to sort of, it feels a bit like I'm returning home. So, yeah, I feel very happy to be hosting Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge. It's a pleasure.
Does she ever find herself emotionally connected to the contestants, taking it personally when they win or lose?
Well, it's just very, it's very heartbreaking, because I've been on the other end so, you know, many times, and it is a very challenging industry, and I know how tirelessly these guys have worked to come to this point. So it is quite heartbreaking. And after the first elimination round, I did get pulled aside by the producers, and they said, you know, we appreciate that you're affected by it, but you're going to need to keep it together a bit better. I said, I'm sorry, it's heartbreaking, because you look into these amazing people's eyes and they're geniuses, and they've worked so hard, and they're just so passionate about their craft that definitely there's a little bit of your heart that crumbles. So, you know, it's definitely touching, and I think that's good, because you'll see that, you know, viewers will connect with that as well, that it's not just a reality show where, you know, they come in and they come out. You can see once the designers that have left, the comments that the judges give them, it's not just, okay, see you later. Usually they're quite supportive and encouraging, and it's not, this is the be all to end all, but it's like, okay, just keep working and here are some tips. And so it's very heartfelt.
Gigi's association with the Henson Company began all the way back on the much beloved show Farscape. I asked her that at the time she was approached for that role, was she at all nervous about taking a job which on paper looked like she'd be working with puppets?
Since I was a little girl, I've been so touched by the productions that the Henson Company have brought to my life. You know, it's been quite an important, you know, part of my childhood. So especially my absolute favourite movie in the whole wide world was The Dark Crystal. So when I read on the audition that it was the Henson Company, I was like, oh, no way. And in my mind, I was like, oh my gosh, this would be the dream job of a lifetime. But I also thought, I don't stand a chance. You know, this is totally out of my reach. And all of a sudden it manifested, and I've never looked back. And I just adore working with those creatures, and I think if they heard you say Muppets or Puppets, Rigel and Pilot would be quite offended, because they've got, you know, beating hearts and more of a soul than a few other actors I've ever worked with, so I'm totally happy to go with them.
So what are the cool things you've seen so far on the show?
Where do I start? It was amazing, because I literally found out I got the job, and within that same day they flew me out from New Zealand, where I was doing an autograph signing. So I didn't even have a chance to go back to Sydney to pack my bags and say goodbye to my husband. I literally moved, relocated my whole life with a bag that was packed for a couple of days, and flew on to set pretty much into LA, and went straight to the Henson lot, and went into a dress rehearsal, and then, you know, went through the to costume and makeup, and the next morning at like 5 a.m. in the morning, I was on set in the beautiful courtyard at the Henson Studios introducing this awesome show. So it's been an absolute dream come true, and I just love seeing people doing what they adore. It's a very exciting process for me to be a part of. So every element has been quite fascinating for me.
So has any of this inspired some of her own creativity?
I don't know whether I could even muster up a sock puppet with my creative skills on that in that area, but I'd like to. It's very inspiring. I might leave the creature designing for the creature designers, but I love to be a part of the whole adventure with them.
Outside of sock puppets, Gigi is also a producer and a director.
Well, at the moment, I've just literally relocated my life, my beautiful dog MacGyver, and my cat Lewis, and my beautiful husband back to Los Angeles, because I have a great faith that this show's about to go onwards and upwards. So fingers crossed, let's hope for the good ratings and see what comes from it. And in between that, you know, there's auditions, and I'm working on a couple of baby projects that are sort of on the back burner, so we'll wait and see what happens.
And to that, the Gigi also is into comics and created some pretty cool ones not that long ago.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And I just got to a stage too, because I do a lot of the conventions, because I'm so appreciative of everyone that has supported me through Farscape. And they fly me around quite a lot to do autograph signings, and it's such a rewarding time for me when I actually get to meet people that have supported me and helped me along my journey. And so that's why I looked into doing comic books and looked into doing my short films. And my brother and I have actually started a little production company called Little Empire Productions, because we want to, you know, give back these awesome energies that people have given us along our journey. So yeah, it's very, very special.
So the big question, Farscape movie or reunion?
I have definitely heard more than whispers, and I'm praying that I'll be part of the production. And I hear quite often, it's quite amazing, because, you know, I saw that spaceship be ripped to shreds. I saw it being literally pulled apart in front of my eyes, and I saw all the makeup and the costumes being packed up and sent back to where they came from. And I, you know, the show was done, and then I went on an autograph signing not that long after that. And the beautiful fans were like, we're going to bring it back, you know, and we believe in it. And I said, guys, I love you and I love that show, but to be honest with you, I've seen it, you know, it's gone. And they went, no, never say never. And sure enough, Peacekeeper Wars happened. So I have more than complete faith that there's something else that's bubbling out there. And I think we should all keep pushing for it, because it would be a dream come true.
See the alluring Ms. Edgley every week on Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge. Tuesdays on Sci-Fi, and see a lot more too at sci-fi.com.
The Point Radio.
Getting right into the latest in pop culture. There's a lot of buzz in the business about the story that Amazon has reached an agreement to acquire Comixology. Of course, with Comixology being the leader in digital online comic book sales, it gives Amazon a leg up over competitors Google and Apple, all in a market that has absolutely tripled over the past few years, with $70 million in digital comic sales racked up in 2012 alone. We probably should have seen it coming when there was a comic called Afterlife with Archie, but in all seriousness, it's not a joke. Archie will die. The namesake for Archie Comics will come to his end in a couple of special issues in the Life with Archie magazine-sized comic. It'll be the two final issues of that run, by the way, number 36 and number 37. The death will occur in number 36, and then in number 37, there'll be a flash forward ahead a year or so to see how the characters are dealing with the passage of the icon. There'll also be a ton of different variant covers to those issues, including ones by Alex Ross, Walt Simonson, Jill Thompson, Mike Allard, Adam Hughes, and a lot more. And the entire thing will be collected in a trade paperback that'll come out later in the year. In addition, the stories will be available in a comic book-sized version of Life with Archie. That'll be in comic stores with some extra material as well. The whole event takes place in July. Look for a ton of nationwide publicity between now and then. The folks at Daily Motion are bringing the feel of the video game Grand Theft Auto to the web and to a new web series called Jump Outs. It's described as a half-hour reality show that pits contestants against elite police units known as Jump Out Boys. Much like GFA, the whole thing will be scored to a hip-hop soundtrack. No release date for Jump Outs yet from Daily Motion, but is expected to be available online sometime later this summer. Want to be a comedy writer? Well, NBC is launching an online search for new comedy writers and for a project called NBC Comedy Playground. The judges include Eva LaGoria, Sean Hayes, Mindy Kaling, and Seth Meyers. And the winner will have a chance to produce an online web series for NBC that will air in 2015. Again, everything will be done online. If you want more information or to apply, go to NBCComedyPlayground.com starting early in May. The TV favorite Charmed is back, at least in comic forms. Dentascope has announced another run of the Charmed comic book, this time based on what they call Season 10. It'll debut in October, just in time for the New York Comic Con. It's written by Pat Shand, by the way. And it'll be this usual run of 24 issues with a couple of trade paperbacks announced during the year. I guess you could say the reboot's getting another reboot. Universal is now starting from scratch with Battlestar Galactica, going all the way back to the drawing board with a project that will have original producer and creator Glenn Larson involved, but doesn't seem to have Ron Moore involved in the project at all. And some other names that have been mentioned along the way are also missing, including Bryan Singer. Writer Jack Pegler, who you know from the Transcendence movie out right now, and also is on board to write Ridley Scott's Prometheus sequel, is set to write a script for the project with, of course, no production date set at this time. There'll be some exclusive clips from X-Men Days of Future Past coming up on the 2014 MTV Movie Awards. Ellen Page from the cast will introduce these clips. It'll be about a month out before the movie hits, so I guess we'll be really anxious to see these. The MTV Movie Awards begin airing on the network on Sunday, April 13th at 9 p.m. The clock is winding down for the sci-fi series Warehouse 13 with just six final episodes on the network. I talked to showrunner Jack Kinney and series star Eddie McClintock about the actors and their continual input to the characters they played.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the series, I remember Jack had us all in and sat us down individually and said, okay, what do you think about this character? Who do you want this character to be? And so we did have our input in that regard, and I think it made it a lot easier to play these characters and show up every day because, I mean, personally for me, there wasn't a whole lot of acting involved for me. I mean, I just basically showed up to work in the morning and acted a fool, just like me.
We did try to find out what you guys we're into, what you like, and write to who you guys
right.
are, because that makes it, I think it makes it more fun, it makes it easier, you know, we're able to connect yourselves with the characters more. I mean, Pete's whole past with alcohol and everybody's strengths and weaknesses, we try to exploit them in the best sense of that word.
Of course, everybody had their favorite moments. For Eddie?
I mean, what jumps off for me is, you know, there's an episode here in the last six called Savage Seduction, and Jack came up to me. He's like, okay, listen, you're going to have to learn Spanish, so start now. And I was like, what? And the storyline is we get caught in a Spanish telenovela. So, you know, Joanne and I and Artie and Saul were all having to take Spanish lessons for about a couple months, I guess. We took lessons, you know, in between, you know, during our lunch breaks, and it was probably the hardest I've had to work on any of the shows or any of the seasons. You know, it's hard, you know, having to learn the words and make sure that the inflections are there and make sure that it sounds as though we know what we're saying and then translating it back to English as you're saying it in Spanish. I mean, it was hard for me. I mean, I'm like four IQ points above the short bus, so it was difficult. But I watched it last night for the first time, It's so wild and wacky, and I'm so proud of it. I think it's really funny, and I think it's going to be one of the best episodes of the series. So for me, that's, you know, and Jack directed that, so it's it's one of the ones that I remember the most fondly.
And for co-star Joanne Kelly?
I think that my favorite, as Zach was saying, we had to learn how to tap dance for this episode. And I am many things, but a dancer, I am definitely not. And I kind of like was freaking out about it, and he kept telling me that it was going to be fine. It was fine. Just, you know, try and learn, try and do my. And then when we did it, I kind of took the risk of just kind of letting go and having a great time. It's one of their most rewarding experiences because it definitely, I had such a blast doing that episode and I was so worried about it.
There's always been talk of a musical episode of Warehouse 13, and Jack told me we'll see that kind of, well, in a way.
Yeah, we did. We did want to write a whole musical episode, and having done just the one big musical number in the finale, I think, thank God, we only did the one number and not a whole episode. I think it would have killed us because it's just really, really hard. I mean, we've got. I think for anybody who needs a musical Jones to be filled, they'll get it filled in the finale because we have a pretty big, fabulous number for everybody.
Final episodes of Warehouse 13 every Monday on Sci-Fi. See full episodes and favorite moments from the series, too, right now at sci-fi.com.
The Point.
Following the trend set by comics in the first quarter of the year, graphic novel sales in comic stores were down just under 2% for the three-month period. But for the month of March in stores, they were up a little over 1%. Interestingly enough, the top 10 best-selling graphic novels had only two entries from Marvel and DC. And none of the early Walking Dead titles that have been in the top 10 for so long were in there as well. So what did sell? Well, at number 10, Stray Bullets, the Uber Allies edition. At number 9, Marvel Masterworks Amazing Spider-Man Volume 1. At number 8, Adventure Time Number 3. Number 7, Harley Quinn, Welcome to Metropolis. Number 6, best-selling graphic novel, Justice League Trinity War, the hardcover. At number 5, from Image, Chew Volume 8. At number 4, Avatar The Last Airbender, the 7th volume there. At number 3, Nemo, Roses of Berlin. Second best-selling graphic novel in stores was Saga Volume 3. And at the top of the list, Volume 20 of The Walking Dead from Image. That does it for right now, but we're back. And when we come back, we open the door to Dean Pelton, better known as Jim Rash, Oscar-winning writer and, of course, host of a new run of episodes of The Writer's Room. In the meantime, plenty of pop culture right now waiting for you at Get the Point Radio. A couple of clicks, you can listen free right there at GetThePointRadio.com on your laptop or your desktop. Or take us anywhere on any mobile device, Apple or Android, with the app called iNet Radio. And keep up with this podcast, too, in the iTunes podcast directory and on websites like ComicMix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com. On social media, we are The Point Radio, and we're right back here in a few days.
Get the-